Certainly good to be here with you this morning. Glad to see all those present here this morning, and certainly glad to have any of our visitors here this morning. Invite you back to be with us at any time you have the opportunity to do so. This morning, if you may have seen from our outline, we're going to look at a study this morning of John the Baptist. And while we've probably all heard about John the Baptist many times, and we've read scriptures about him, as I have myself, in studying this, I came across something I guess I never really had emphasized before or seen emphasized in the scriptures, and hopefully I'll be able to convey that to you this morning. Jesus said in the scriptures that among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And there's two main points that I'd like to bring home this morning, and that's one of them. And we're going to hear that bit of scripture this morning over and over, so they will become more clear to us. Jesus said, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And we're going to see from the scriptures we're going to read this morning that there's clear evidence that that is true. We see that John the Baptist was prophesied in the Old Testament. We look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. It says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And also in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom ye delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So these two scriptures are prophecies that foretell about the coming of John the Baptist. Also, we'd like to look in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, that John's birth was miraculous. Not in the same way that Jesus' was, of being born of a virgin, but John's birth was miraculous in that he was born of parents that were past age. And Elizabeth, his mother, was barren, and she was already, basically, is what they say in the world, she was too old to have children. But that didn't stop the Lord from his purpose being carried out through Zacharias and Elizabeth here. We'll begin reading in Luke chapter 1, begin with verse 5. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving the priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And this is part of the worship that they did under the old law. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit of power, of the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel said unto him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to you to bring you these glad tidings. Behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. So we see John, when he Zacharias here, when he went in to the temple here, him and his wife, they had prayed for a child. And you know, that's another thing for us to side the things that we might learn in this lesson is that, you know, there's three different answers when we pray. There's yes, no, and wait. And you know, John assumed the answer for their child was no, because it didn't occur in what time frame that he saw within human eyes as we did. And because of his disbelief here, when he was told he'd have a child, and he doubted in his heart here, it said he would become mute. No, he would not be able to speak until after the child was born. In verse 21 it says, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as the days of his service were completed, he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus the Lord hath dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." So we see here that John, with birth or conception, is that of a miraculous type. And again, we repeat what Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say unto you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." Also, we see that John was a cousin to Jesus. So look at Luke chapter 1. Beginning in verse 36. Luke chapter 1 and beginning in verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary," this is Mary the mother of Jesus, "said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill of the countryside with haste into a city of Judea. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." And this fulfills the other scripture we talked about, that John would be blessed with the Holy Ghost even before his birth. In verse 42, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence it is unto me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of these things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on all them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened the servant of Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers of Abraham and to his seed. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house." So we see here that John was a blood relative of Jesus Christ. And again, we see, reminded of those words of Jesus, he said, "Assuredly, I say unto you, those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." But John, like Jesus, was destined for greatness. Let's look on down in Luke chapter 1 and beginning with verse 57. said, Now Elizabeth's full time was come for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had showed great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. And so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias, which was a custom at that time. And his mother answered and said, No, he shall be called John. But they said unto her, There is none among your relatives who is called by this name. And they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, His name is John. And they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loose, and he spoke, praising God. And fear came upon all those that dwelt among them. And all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who had heard him kept in their hearts, saying, What kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy commandment, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in the spirit, and was in the desert to the day of his manifestation to Israel. Again, we're reminded, Jesus said, Assuredly, I say unto you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. And again, we see further evidence of that fact. And as was alluded to in this last passage that we read, that John was the forerunner for Jesus. Let's look to Matthew chapter 3, begin with verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John himself was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the regions round about Jordan went out to see him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, Brood of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our fathers, for I say unto you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, therefore every tree which does not bear forth fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So we see again here that Jesus was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And again we're reminded that Jesus said, Assuredly I say unto you, among those born of women there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. And again we see further evidence of that. Next, we'd like to look at the fact that John baptized Jesus. And we know that Jesus was not baptized because he had sin in his life, but he was baptized for an example unto us. In Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said unto him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly there was a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we see here several things from John. The fact that Jesus, the Son of God, came to him to be baptized of him. John recognized the greatness of Jesus. And he didn't want to baptize him. He said, I'm not worthy to do so. But Jesus told him that it had to be that way. That it fulfill all righteousness. And then John submitted to him, and he did baptize him. And we see that that was pleasing to God, because immediately after, there was the Spirit of God came down from heaven upon Jesus at that time. And again, we're reminded of those words of Jesus. Says, Assuredly I say unto you, blessed among those that are born of women, there is not one greater than John the Baptist. Jesus chastised those who did not believe in John. In Matthew chapter 21, again verse 23, says, Now when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? But Jesus answered and said unto you, and as Jesus did many times, you know, they were always trying to trick Jesus, and I always thought they had him, but the many times he answered their question with another question. And he said, I will also ask you one thing, which if you will tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus answered them and said, The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say, Why did you not believe him? And if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they neither answered Jesus and said, We do not know. And he said unto them, Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So we see that Jesus chastised those here that didn't believe in John and his baptism, and used John in his lesson here to try to answer those that were trying to falsely accuse him. Once again, we're reminded of the words of Jesus, said, Assuredly I say unto you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. And like I said, we keep building on this evidence. Next, we'd like to look at that John was a martyr for the cause of God, because he believed what he believed so strongly. And you know, we might say that we believe it so strongly to the point of death, but John proved that. And we'll see that in this passage. At that time, in John chapter 14, begin with verse 1, And at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had said to him, It is not lawful for you to have her. So we see here that Herod had married his brother's wife, which was not lawful. And John didn't have a problem. He told him that this was not right. And Herod cast him into prison for just the fact that he said that. In verse 5 it says, And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter or in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given her. And so he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And then the disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. So we see that John was beheaded because of what he believed. He said, this is right, and you can put me in prison, but this is still, I'm not going to say something that's wrong, it's right. And he stood up to the point of it, and Herod was kind of tricked in a way, but you know, he didn't stand against that. He allowed it to be carried out. And you know, this is a very gruesome type thing. Evidently, at this celebration, they'd immediately sent and had John's head chopped off and brought the head there. One translation says a charger on a platter there. He gave it to Herod's wife. So he was a martyr. And that's another reason why Jesus said, assuredly, I say unto you, those born among women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Since we've mentioned this scripture many times, we just picked out a very few verses. Well, they seem like a lot, but there was a lot more verses that we could read about John that supports the fact that he was a great person. He was a great character in the Bible that accomplished much, and he was respected of Jesus. He was the forerunner of Jesus. He was a martyr for the cause of God. He lost his life because of that in a very gruesome way. But we're going to go to that passage, and intentionally I have not read that whole scripture because I want to make another point at this time. But if you will, look to it with me at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, and we'll look at the scripture that we've been reading this morning over and over and over again, and hopefully we've got in our mind the fact of what Jesus said about how great John was and that there was none greater. Now, certainly there could be those that were as great, but you think about all the people in the Bible that Jesus would have been talking about, that there was none greater than he. I mean, he was talking about Abraham, David, Moses. There's a lot of people there about how great a person that John was. But notice carefully with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 11, the words of Jesus, assuredly I say unto you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Then the last part of that scripture says, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now you think about that for a moment. Of all the things we talked about, there's no disputing evidence of how great a person that John was. The Bible supports that. But what did Jesus say immediately after that? He said, he is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. That's a very profound statement, is it not? It's spoken by the words of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Now, we've talked about that many times, but the kingdom of heaven is synonymous with the church. They are one and the same. We'd like to read a few passages now about the kingdom and the church. But keep in mind, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, or others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, will not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So we see here, Jesus said that upon this rock, he would build his church. What rock was that? The premise that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And we see here that he's talking about his church. In verse 18, he's going to build his church. And then he gives Peter the keys to the kingdom. to me, that clearly tells us that the kingdom and the church are one and the same, or else Jesus was talking about one thing in verse 18, and he gave the keys to Peter in verse 19 of something else, and that would make no sense whatsoever. Keep in mind that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Also in this same chapter, look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you that there be some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Either the kingdom came while some of those people were living, or this was almost 2,000 years ago, or there's people around today that are almost 2,000 or over 2,000 years old that are standing around waiting for that kingdom to come. Or either that, or Jesus told a lie. Now, I don't believe Jesus lied. I believe the kingdom came during this period of time. And again, keep in mind that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Also in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 9, we see John, not John the Baptist here, but the Apostle John, that I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So in this passage, John tells us that he was in the kingdom during the first century when he wrote this. So we see different aspects about Jesus telling us the kingdom was coming. And then we hear people talk about being it would come during that period of time. And then we hear John talking about being in the kingdom in the latter part of the first century. That tells us that the kingdom's in existence, and the kingdom being one with the church. And again, we're reminded that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And we've established that the kingdom is the church. So he that is least in the kingdom of heaven or the church is greater than John the Baptist. Next, we'd like to look at, why is it so important to be a part of the church? I heard just this week on the radio, a man said that God was a lot more concerned with our personal relationship with Jesus Christ than he was with us coming to church. My friends, that's just not true. And I think this next passage will tell us why that's so, because Jesus will return to deliver those in his kingdom to heaven. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 26. The Apostle Paul, speaking here to the church at Corinth, says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and hath become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man cometh death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death." When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for his kingdom. And those that are part of that kingdom, those that are part of that church, will be those that will go home to heaven with him. So how can we say it's not important for us not to be a part of the church? Because the church is what he's coming back for. And again, keep in mind the words of Jesus said that he is least in the kingdom of heaven, or the church, is greater than John the Baptist. Also, we see an entrance to the kingdom of the church is by obeying the gospel. Let's look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Here the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who do not know God and those that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So when Jesus comes back, he's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that do not know God and have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it takes to have an entrance into the kingdom of the church. It's through obedience to the gospel. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible tells us. And again, keep in mind the words of Jesus, who said that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven or in the church is greater than John the Baptist. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5 here, we see a reference back to the baptism of John. And there was a question there. And the question that comes up many times about baptism, about people ask me about being rebaptized. A person is baptized correctly and for the right reasons and the right purpose will never need to be baptized again. We see examples of that many times through the scriptures. But there is a correct baptism. So there's really no such thing as a rebaptism. It's just being correctly baptized the first time. And we see the example here in Acts chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said unto them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said unto him, we have not heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So we see here those that were baptized by John the Baptist. They were baptized for the remission of sins into John's baptism, but they were not baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, for entrance into the kingdom, into the church. So what were they commanded to do in verse 5 here? They were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, he didn't just say, well, we'll just let that other baptism he had from John, we'll just let it count for the one that it should have been. And you know, so many times as it is with many things concerning with Bible matters, is there's a way that the Bible, and anyone that can teach and tell you about the Bible, can tell you that's right. And then there's another way that people are trying to make seem right. My friends, we're not talking about whether or not the warranty on your refrigerator is going to be good or not if you buy some used one from somebody. We're talking about the salvation of your soul. So most of the time, if anybody's asking that question, they've got a doubt in their mind. And just as it was in my mind about 15 years ago at this same place. And I was rebaptized. If you have a doubt in your mind, I'd do the same. Because most of the denominational world does not baptize people for the remission of their sins. It's an outward show of faith. And they'll tell you that many times. And all I can do is tell you what the Scripture does. I'm not here to judge you, and you won't need to judge me on that day, but we'll be judged according to what this word says. Don't take a chance on your soul. But why of this scripture? Let's read it one last time. We'll make a couple of comments and then we'll close. Assuredly I say unto you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why would those that are the least in the kingdom of heaven or the church be greater than John the Baptist? John the Baptist was a great man. He gave his life, had his head chopped off for what he believed. But you know what? As great as John was not a Christian. He couldn't be a Christian because he died before the church was established, before Christianity was basically set up by Jesus upon his ascension on the day of Pentecost. That's the biggest reason that John was not a Christian. He didn't have the privileges that Christians enjoy of having direct access to the Father, to be able to be forgiven of our sins. The many, many privileges that we have of being a Christian. So I hope I've established with you today how great a person that John the Baptist was. We've seen all these scriptures. But you know what? You and I, if we're not already, we can be greater than John the Baptist. And there's no reason why we can't be before we leave this building here today. If there's anything that's not right in your life as a Christian, we need to make those things right. There's questions concerning our soul salvation. And those who have not rendered obedience to the gospel, we can assist you this morning with that through faith, confession, repentance, and baptism. You'll be added to the Lord's body. Not to confess every sin that you've done, but just to confess publicly, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. My friends, that's the only way that we can make it to heaven, is through obedience to the Word of God. It's not an option. It's not my opinion. That's what the Word says. We have to be a part of the church. We have a membership committee here, but Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 tells us that the Lord adds you to the church. And He adds you to the church when you've met His conditions. Not mine, not the congregation here. But He adds us to His church. If there's any here today that have never rendered obedience to the gospel, or those that have, and straight away, if you're not prepared to meet Him in judgment, would you come? I'm standing, sing the song of invitation.